Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, March 14th, 2021. Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
So if you know me well enough, you know that I like to watch sports. And a couple of weekends ago, I was watching the high school boys and girls championship games for our state. You might have been amazed that they actually took place, since a lot of sporting events and events around our nation have been canceled or postponed this past year. It was also amazing that in one of the championship games, because most of them were blowouts, but in one of the championship games I watched the boys, they won on an amazing last-second shot to win the championship. And that amazing shot will be remembered by his city for years to come, I'm sure. And I'm hoping to find some time this coming weekend to watch the upcoming NCAA college basketball tournament as well. And then here in our neck of the woods and in the fields, perhaps you were amazed at the skills of our hunters. Amazed that in just less than 3 days, they killed over 200 wolves to kind of handle the pack and protect our domestic animals. And unless you've been hiding behind a rock or underneath a rock the last couple of days, you've been well aware that we have now reached the anniversary of when things changed drastically for our nation and our world. In fact, it was March 15th, 2020, after the closing announcements, last thing Bruce said was, "We may go into quarantine, and don't shake hands on your way out." And of course, that's what happened. And we've seen lots of changes. In fact, you see the changes still going on today with our blue tape, marking out some of the pews, so social distancing, and just the elbow bumps. But I hope that you would consider that as the year has come to, this anniversary has arrived, I would hope that you would realize that there are some amazing things that have happened. Can you agree with that? Something amazing that has happened despite a pandemic. Amazing medical staff certainly would be one in my mind, and certainly I have one in my own household. Amazing fact that we have a vaccine, actually more than one vaccine. Amazing fact that we have Al's amazing skills back there with his team ready to make sure that we can broadcast live to feed that gospel message around the world today. And amazing brothers and sisters in the faith gathered here today and online, ready to recognize that we have a mission to keep on carrying out Christ's mission no matter what happens in our lives. Then we come to this portion of God's word from the Apostle Paul. We're amazed at God's clear word where he announces to us his love. A love we don't deserve, a love that is unmerited, unwarranted, but it's ours nonetheless. It's called grace. God's grace is amazing. God's grace is so amazing that we see that he makes us alive with Christ. He allows us to live with Christ. And he urges us to live for Christ. Opening words of our text are once again these words from verses 4 and 5. Paul reminds us of our status with God before and now. But God, because he is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved. The Apostle Paul reminds us of our awful condition that's not only ours, but for all people when we are born in this world. We are dead in trespasses. Scripture does not say that we are weakened by our sin. The Scriptures do not say that we are sick with sin. If that's possible, then we might find a way out on our own. But no, we are dead in trespasses. What does that mean? It means that nothing we can do to find favor with God. There's nothing we can bring to God to make him pleasing to him. We are completely incapable of finding God's love because we are dead in our trespasses. We are under God's curse. Remember that time when Jesus had called his disciple Matthew and went to visit Matthew at his house? And the father of a daughter who had died came to Matthew's house and pleaded with Jesus to go and touch his daughter's hand so she might live again. Imagine if Jesus had said this, "Well, I'd like to help you, but why don't you have her come over to Matthew's house and have her ask me if she would like me to raise her up from the grave?" That's not going to happen. She has no control over it. She's dead. So it is with our lives when we're born into this world. We are dead in our trespasses. We are not able to help ourselves in our lives spiritually. As Paul points out very clearly, we can't even lift a finger to help God. We are deserving of hellfire because of our dead sins, our rebellious acts. We deserve nothing but eternal punishment from God, separated from him for all eternity. But did you notice what Paul said? We were dead in sin. God's grace is amazing. He makes us alive with Christ, Paul says. So Jesus took the daughter's hand that was dead, and Jesus raised her back to life. She had no involvement in bringing herself back to life. Jesus did it all. So it is with our life spiritually. We have no contribution to add to this effect called God's love and grace. We did not come to faith in Jesus on our own. It was all God's doing, all his amazing grace. He makes us alive with Christ, as Paul says. God, because he is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive with Christ. That's why God's grace is amazing. It makes us alive with Christ. And that's why we know that by grace, Paul says, you have been saved. A friend of mine shared a story about how he went into a burning fire of his neighbor's house and rescued some of the occupants that were still inside. As he's in that house, of course, the smoke had billowed and he got smoke in his lungs. But he too was rescued from that fire in that house. And as the news reports talked about the event, they talked about how the family had been trapped, but how they've been rescued, and now they're all safe and well. And the question probably could have been asked, what were they saved for? What reason was it for this man to be saved or this family to be saved from these burning fires? I guess we would say because the Lord wanted them to live a long, productive life. And in the case of my friend, I know he did live a long, productive life. Now, we're not trying to poo-poo the idea that God saved us from the fires of hell. That's God's grace. But because he has saved us from the fires of hell, he also says that we are going to live with Christ. Paul writes, God made us alive with Christ. He also raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He did this so that in the coming ages he might demonstrate the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. When God's prophets talked about the events that they were foretelling, of events that were going to happen in the future, they also put them in the past tense as if they had already happened. Isn't that amazing? God's grace is so efficient and sufficient that he saved us to live with Christ as if it has already been happening. He has seated us in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus now. It is a fact that we know and enjoy. As you likely know, we have been advertising the End Times Bible study that we've been doing on Monday afternoons. The reason I think so many of you have been contributing to the conversation about the end times is because you realize, yes, you have been raised with Christ. You are guaranteed heaven because of what Christ has done for you. But I want to learn more what the Bible has to say about the end times, especially as it relates to what heaven will be like. And we're going to get there eventually, as God speaks to us clearly. What a wonderful news to know that God has given us his amazing grace to seat us with Christ in the heavenly realms. We are already with Christ. according to God's plan. Why is that possible? Well, as I already said, it's not because of anything we have done. We bring nothing of value to our God. It's all because of what Christ did for us. As he went to the cross, after living that perfect life for 33 years, never once sinning in our place, but living a perfect life for us, and suffering and dying on a cross that we observe every day of our lives, I pray. That is what guarantees us this life with Christ, that we are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. So it's not just our sin that Christ is taking care of. It's also the death that he's taking care of. He's been raised back to life. Because if he's a dead God, a dead Savior, he's no Savior at all, is he? That's why we rejoice in what Paul says here. He did this so that in the coming ages he might demonstrate the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. There are times when I fail to appreciate that grace of my God. There are times when I demonstrate my struggle and my concerns about accepting God's grace. It may be because of my debts, maybe because of my stresses. And you pick what's bothering you that you might think, God's being a little stingy with his grace on me right now. That's not the case. That's not possible. God does not withhold his grace from us. No matter how hard we try to think that God doesn't want us to give us his grace, it's always there. His surpassing grace is richness in our lives. So God doesn't say, well, just seek out my grace when you're having a hard day. Or seek my grace when you want to get through a rough week or a rough pandemic year. No, his grace is always available 24/7 for our entire lives and for eternity. The surpassing riches of his grace. They are surpassing riches because they're never going to be defeated. They're never going to be stolen. They're never going to be ruined. They're never going to be tarnished. They're never going to be blemished. They're never going to be interrupted. God's grace is sufficient for us. God's amazing grace is why we have reason to live with Christ because of what he has done. Paul also closes these words of our text to let us know that we can joyfully live with Jesus and for him. Indeed, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance so that we would walk in them. Brothers and sisters, when we have a desire to live for the Lord, when we have a desire to strive for godly living, to love others, to avoid evil, that's the kind of joy that we have in our hearts to live for Christ, who died and rose for us. God's grace is amazing. We have a desire to, a urge to live for Christ. You've heard me say this before in a sermon in a Bible class. It came from a famous person. I think his last name is Luther. He calls us little Christs. You know what that means? That you are a little Christ? That means you're walking and talking as a child of God. Not perfectly, of course, like Christ would and did. But when you are walking and talking in the faith of God, by your actions and your words, you are a little Christ. And you're letting your light shine so others might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, I know you are a little Christ because I hear it and I see it in your lives. I see it on your social media posts as you let your light shine to let others know about the saving Jesus and what he's done for us and for the world. Now, there may be some who will say that I have a hard time being patient with a stranger. I have a hard time forgiving my brothers and sisters. I have a hard time loving my spouse and being respectful to my parents. I have a hard time being a good neighbor. But our loving God says, you can do that because you are a little Christ. You are living for Christ by your words and your actions. So that means that we do not need to focus on anger and rebellion and heartache, but rather the love of our God that lifts up our spirits to know that we are loved by God through Christ Jesus. Amazing grace. Oh, I can't believe I said it. Amazing grace. Pastor John, we're not singing Amazing Grace in the service today. What did you do? How could you not pick Amazing Grace when we're talking about grace from beginning to end? Sorry. Maybe you can sing it from memory on your way home today. But God's amazing grace is real. God's love is amazing. His grace is so amazing that you are able to live with Christ. You are allowed to walk with Christ in heaven one day. He guarantees it. And you're able to serve your God as a loving neighbor and friend. God's grace is amazing. Amen. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and in his grace gave us eternal encouragement and hope, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Amen.